First reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, and I'll start reading at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Then verse 36 of the same chapter. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we've already prayed and we've sung a prayer as well, so we can begin thinking more about God's word for us this morning. And I'm not someone who suffers from many allergies or things like that, mercifully, but I know a number of people do, and it seems to be an increasing thing in society, doesn't it? And you look down packages of food, and there are all sorts of warning signs, aren't there? May contain nuts. Becca's sort of gluten-free generally, so you know, now I have to look down ingredients to see whether it's gluten-free and those kind of things. A number of others in our church family, I'm sure, have all sorts of intolerances and allergies. And for those people, it's really important, isn't it? That list is really, really important. It's a warning that you want to heed and take note of, because the results can be quite disastrous for some people. Well, last week we were introduced to parables, weren't we? Si was teaching us from Matthew 13, and we were thinking about the parable of the sower, which some people call really a parable about parables. It comes at the beginning of Matthew 13, where we're going to have a number of parables through this chapter. And as the first one, it's a sort of introduction to what Jesus is doing with parables. And I think sometimes we think maybe parables are just sort of simple little stories. Nice stories for the children to enjoy. And we don't give them the credence that they need. Because I think parables should come with one of those warnings. A bit of a spiritual health warning. Warning may contain surprises. Warning may contain surprises. They're not just simple little stories. Some people call them earthly stories. I quite sort of superficially understandable stories, but with a heavenly meaning. And at the end of the parable of the sower, back in verse 9, and at the end of the explanation today in verse 43, Jesus says that little phrase, doesn't he? "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now, he's not talking about ears of corn, despite both parables including corn and wheat and things. He's talking about us as we listen. Have you got ears to hear what Jesus is saying to us? Because it's not a given that people are going to understand things. They might understand something, but are they really understanding what Jesus is wanting to communicate? Because it's not just about understanding, it's also about hearing with the ears of our heart, as the Bible says elsewhere. It's about believing. And in believing, it is about living as well. So parables should change the way that we think and trust and live if we are Christians. And it's very much true of this parable. It seems superficially maybe quite straightforward, but as you look at it a little bit more, there's more to it than meets the eye. Maybe there are some questions that even came to mind as Caroline and then Kate were reading for us this morning. And that's even when Jesus gives us the explanation. You don't always get explanations with the parables. So let's have a little look at the parable again, just to make sure that we're all up to speed. Verse 24, we have a man, the owner, the farmer, whatever you want to call him, going out into his field with all his servants and sowing the crop in the field. A wonderful crop of wheat for him to harvest later in the season. But then during the night, an enemy comes. Maybe it's the landowner next door. Don't quite know who this enemy is in the story, do we? And he sows something else amongst the wheat. He sows some weeds in there. And they both begin to grow. And maybe at first they look quite similar. But then when things begin to come to fruit, it's very noticeable there are differences between the wheat and the weeds. And the servants notice, don't they? They ask a couple of questions. Verse 27. Didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And it's interesting, isn't it? Without batting an eyelid, the man knows an enemy did this. He knows exactly what has gone on. Maybe he's got very good CCTV with night vision. I don't know, but he knows what has gone on. The servants have another question. Do you want us then to go and pull them out? We can see, you know, they're different now, the wheat and the weeds. And he's like, no. No need to pull them out. Not now. We can wait until the harvest, and at the harvest, we can separate them out. The weeds we'll tie into bundles and throw them in the fire to be burned. And then we'll gather in the wheat and bring it into the barn, because that's what I want from this field, isn't it? He wants a good harvest of wheat. The man, the owner, I want you to see, he knows what's going on. There are no surprises for him at all in this. He has a plan. It is not a problem in the scientists. The servants, they're panicking a little bit because they don't know. Should we be doing something now, sir? Should we be rooting out the weeds? No. I've got it all in hand. I've got a plan. I'm in control. No need to worry. Everything is safe and secure. And actually, that is one of the main themes of this parable. And there's no surprise in that safety, that security, that control. As we turn to the explanation, wonderfully, Jesus does give an explanation here as the disciples go and ask him. Verse 36, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the fields. Verse 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Son of Man is one of Jesus' favorite ways of referring to himself. It's a parable that has me at the center again, says Jesus, as with many of the parables that we'll see. He was the sower last week, wasn't he? He's the owner, the farmer here. He knows everything that is going on. He is in control. He has a plan. He has a purpose. If you are a Christian here this morning, as we'll see, we're in this parable as well. In fact, everyone is in this parable. One of the big things is Jesus knows what is going on. As this parable deals with the present situation for God's people, we can have full confidence in Jesus. I think this is a wonderful word for us today in this present season that we're in. In a world full of challenges for everyone, but I think particularly for us as Christians, and it's wonderful again to see so many gathered here this morning, and I'm sure more watching online at home as well. It is an encouragement for us to keep going, keep growing, keep persevering, because Jesus has everything in hand. He is in control, both now and in the future. And that's what this parable focuses on. So first of all, we're going to think about in the world today. In the world today, how do we as God's people, as Christians, as the wheat, in this parable understand things? Well, as we see, that the good seed here is the people of the kingdom, as Jesus calls it in verse 38. Last week, remember, the good seed was the gospel, the message of the kingdom, which was planted. So it's a bit different. We need to keep our wits about us. But the good seed and the wheat into which it grows, that crop that the owner wants, are the people of the kingdom. Not a nation that Jesus is speaking about. He's not just speaking about the people of Israel, the Old Testament people of God. He's talking about people of the king. If you have come to Jesus as your king, if you have laid everything before him, your life, everything that you are before him, as your king, as your Lord, as your Savior, then you are one of the wheat. This evening, in the service of confirmation and baptism, that is what those who are being baptized and confirmed will be declaring, that they have come to Jesus as their king. But they are wheat, and they want to publicly affirm that before family and friends and church family. If you are a Christian here this morning, this is who you are. But there are other people, aren't there, in the world. Jesus tells us the field, the owner's field, is the whole world. As we sing in the children's song, the whole wide world, the world that we live in, the world around us, throughout time and history, in fact. And there are other people around us in the world. And they're marked by the weeds. Or as Jesus explains it again for us in verse 38, the weeds are the people of the evil one. Those who are earlier in the parable sown by the enemy, who is the devil. Now again, what is Jesus meaning by this? Are these particularly evil people, as it were, particularly planted by the devil into the world? Is he talking about sort of devil worshippers and people like Hitler and people like that? That's not how the parable pans out, is it? There are only two things in this field. There aren't wheat and weeds and grass or something. There are either wheat or weeds. You are either a person of the kingdom or you are a person of the evil one. Jesus is speaking of people who have not yet come to Jesus as their king. Unbelievers, non-Christians here at this point. Because this is the spiritual reality. And I think this is something that recent days have brought to light to me particularly clearly as well. That I think even as Christians, sometimes we can just underestimate the reality of the spiritual truth of what is going on in the world. Satan is always at work. He will be at work until the end of time, actively working to claim people for himself, as it were, actively sowing his evil message, just as much as the Lord Jesus is sowing his good message. He is wanting to win people for his ends as well. And that is the reality. That if people have not come to Jesus as their king, they are still in some sense under the auspices of the evil one, of the devil. That might sound a bit strong, but it's the truth that the scriptures say time after time after time. If you are a Christian here this morning, this is true of us before God opened our eyes to come to the Lord Jesus, our king. And again, as I look back at my life before I became a Christian, sometimes I struggle to think of it in those terms. But I was under the sway of the lies of the evil one. I was not living under the truth of the king. That is the spiritual reality in the world around us. So two things are very clear from Jesus here. As Christians in this life, we will live in a world that is full of both Christians and non-Christians, believers and unbelievers, people of the king and people of the evil one. And everyone is either one or the other. We are either wheat or we are weed. There is no other option open to us. But it is important that we say, as we look at people, we can't know. We can't see into people's hearts. We aren't the ones to make that call as to whether people are wheat or weeds. Thankfully, not my responsibility as a pastor. It's never our responsibility to do that. We'll come back to that point a little later. But this is true for now across the board. And it's sadly true even in the church. This mixed economy of wheat and weeds happens even amongst the visible church as well. And I guess we were seeing a little bit of that last week, weren't we? In the parable of the sower, about people who seem to be growing, but then ultimately the fruit they bear is not wheat, but weeds. And the second thing I think for us to take from this, living in the world today, builds on that. And it comes back to that issue of Jesus is in control. We need not panic or worry. It's interesting, the servants in the parable don't feature in the explanation. We never know who the servants are. They can't be people, because people are the wheats and the weeds. Are they more angels, because you get the harvesters who are angels? Well, they're not really anyone, actually. They're just a help and aid for us to understand. The servants go out and they're, should we pull up the weeds? Should we pull up the weeds? The weeds are bad, and surely they'll have a bad influence on the wheat. And, you know, we sort of saw that in the parable of the sower, didn't we? Weeds choking the good seed. But it's a very different story here. It's understandable why they'd want to do that. And I've made that mistake myself when we first got a trug, which is a kind of raised vegetable patch, and the little seedlings began to grow through of the carrots or the beetroot or whatever they were. It's really tempting to go and pull out the weeds, and oh, no, there comes the beetroot as well. You try and plant it back in, and it never works, does it? Actually, it's not a good thing to be forever weeding around the good crop. Jonah says no. Why does he say no? Well, it's for the good of the wheat. That's Jesus' priority. It is what will be best for the wheat. And that is what is best for us. Because Jesus knows. He has a plan. He has it all in control. We need not panic. We need not worry when we live alongside those who don't follow Jesus as their king. Maybe they do so in a very amiable British kind of way. Maybe they do it in quite an antagonistic and confrontational kind of way. Actually, it is good for us, Jesus is saying, to live in that kind of society, in that kind of world. You know, we might think that life would be easier if we were just surrounded by Christians the whole time. But actually, every time in history that God's people have tried to do that, it's not really worked very well. Just think of the monasteries that became dens of iniquity and immorality. Think of Christian communes that are set up and quickly become turn into cults. Personality cults that begin to believe weird and wonderful things. When Christians just hang out together, they just seem to get things wrong. They're led astray, and they become intense and sort of effectively blow up, spiritually speaking. Oh, there is something good for us in living in a world where we have to defend the faith, where we have to give a reason for the hope that we have, where we have people who question us about our beliefs, and we have to verbalize what it means for us to trust in the King, for us to know the King, for Him to be the center of our lives and to change us. That is good for us. The Bible speaks about how that strengthens our faith. As you speak to a friend or a work colleague or a neighbor about what you know and believe about the Lord Jesus, it strengthens you. It's good for you. Kind of spiritual exercise and muscle building as we proclaim Jesus as our King. It might not be popular. It might not win us friends necessarily. But actually it is good for our faith. It is good for our hearts. It is good for our inner being. As Jesus says, you are to be in the world, but not of it, in the world. That is what it is to be a Christian in the world today. And actually, even the presence of the weeds around us is a sign of what is to come. And let's have a think more briefly about in the world to come. And this is actually what Jesus is explanation mainly focuses on, isn't it? Jesus doesn't actually say so much about the present situation. He turns to what he calls the end of the age, the end of this age, when he will return in his Father's glory with all his holy angels to end this world as we know it and usher in the new creation. And Jesus is saying, as my people, I want you to know that I am in control of the beginning, the middle, and the end. There will come a day when I will call everyone to account, when everyone will be brought before me as king and judge, when the harvest will be reaped. We can read about this elsewhere in the Bible, say Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20, which pictures Jesus sending out his harvesting angels, referred to in this parable, to gather in the wheat and to gather up. There it's the grapes that will be trodden into his wrath. Here it is, the weeds that are gathered into bundles to be burned in the fire. Jesus is the one who will enact that final judgment. Just back to that point, therefore, that frees us from needing to make the judgment. It's not our job. It's not our job now, and it's not our job then. We can trust Jesus will make the right judgment on everyone we know, everyone we come into contact, everyone we meet. And it gives us that responsibility for now, not just to be defending our faith, but to be proclaiming Christ as King, to be proclaiming that message of the kingdom we were hearing about last week, to be involved in sowing, as Si was encouraging us last week. Because we never know who actually in the long run will turn out to be wheat. And we might be the person that God uses to bring that about. But at the end, there will be that final division. The division that the servants wanted to make earlier on and the owner said no. Wait, will finally happen. Because the Lord Jesus cannot let anything evil into his final fulfilled kingdom, into the new creation, the new heaven, and the new earth. And therefore the weeds on that day will be shown for who and what they are, that they are people of the evil one. Or as in the explanation, they are those who do evil, which ultimately is summarized in denying that Jesus is the true king. That is the ultimate evil, isn't it? To deny God and who he is in his world, the God who made you and created you. It is the ultimate evil and treason and rebellion. And those who reject King Jesus in this life, they will come face to face with him, and they will have to answer to him. But notice it's not just the people in verse 41. Everything that causes sin, as we read elsewhere in the Bible, the devil, hell, all the devil's angels, sin, death, brokenness, pain, and suffering, everything that is wrong with this creation will be thrown into the blazing furnace, will be thrown into a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But for the wheat, verse 43, the righteous, the people of the kingdom, those who live with Jesus as their king, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. We will shine like the sun. We will share his glory. We will be where he is forever and ever. In our home groups, we've been looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians, haven't we? Our group are a week behind, so we read these verses this week. But our citizenship is in heaven. This is true if you are wheat. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That is the world to come that God has in store for his people. That is why there is no panic, there is no problem for the man, the Son of Man. He's totally in control. He knows the beginning from the middle and the end. He doesn't feel threatened. And so he calls us to trust him in that. For us to have ears to hear what Jesus is saying means that we will trust him in the here and now. We will not fear the evil that is in this world as we see it manifested more or less clearly around us. Again, a word for our present season. As we are more or less aware of what is going on around us, of the operation of evil in our world, Jesus says, Trust me. I am the King. I am coming back. I will take you to be with me. But for now, be patient. Trust me. Don't panic. Don't try and do my job for me. Trust me. Live for me. Proclaim me. Defend the wonderful message about me. Believe and live. Will we? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable that speaks your truth to us, that challenges us in the way that we view the world and in the way that we live. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to trust the Lord Jesus, to know him in the midst of this world in which we live, with all that we face day by day. Help us to trust him, to live for him, proclaim him. We pray it in his precious name.